In this week's market update, earnings season is in full flood, while here in the UK, the budget and COP26 are the main focus. A very busy week on lots of fronts. For investors, the most important announcements, in the short term anyway, are likely to be the 200 or so S&P 500 constituents announcing third quarter numbers this week, and the many businesses on this side of the pond also reporting. We're in the thick of earnings season. The good news is that earnings have so far been pretty good. The growth estimate for the third quarter as a whole is now plus 32%, up from plus 28% at the start of the reporting season. That follows a similar pattern of upgrades through both the first and second quarter seasons earlier in the year, albeit at a lower level. In the first quarter, expectations of 24% growth at the start of the season were blown away by the 54% outcome. And in the second quarter, expected growth of 64% morphed into a 96% increase year on year by the end of the season. We're unlikely to match either of those two, but momentum is still positive. Looking back for a similar template, the current phase of the earnings cycle looks a bit like 2011, when the best of the recovery from the financial crisis was in the bag, but earnings were still rising. And of course, that provided a decent enough backdrop for markets in subsequent years, although with hiccups along the way, like the European sovereign debt crisis. The peak in earnings growth can sometimes cause a correction in markets. So the big question is whether the 5% retreat in September represented the full extent of it, or whether there's more to come. The good news is that we're now nearly through the difficult September-October period when market wobbles tend to occur. In fact, October saw a decent recovery from that September slide. A big focus this week will be the technology sector. We've got results from Twitter, Alphabet, Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, Spotify, you name it, it's probably reporting this week. Facebook in particular will be in the spotlight, with a perfect storm of problems at the company in the shape of dwindling interest from younger users, a vocal whistleblower, Francis Haugen, and mounting criticism of the company's inability to control divisive and hate-based content in countries around the world, including in India, where over 340 million people are on Facebook and 400 million use its messaging service WhatsApp. Here in the UK, the main event is Wednesday's budget. Rishi Sunak's tenure as Chancellor has pretty much mirrored the unfolding COVID pandemic, as he was parachuted into the job within weeks of the first lockdowns. He was widely praised for his handling of the economy during that first shutdown. Now he faces the more difficult job of paying for all the spending he signed off on last year. He's likely to receive a short-term windfall from the Office for Budget Responsibility, which will probably upgrade its economic forecasts to show good growth this year and next. He'll be able to use some of that increased firepower to pay for the government's top priorities, helping households through the cost of living squeeze on the back of rising energy costs, shoring up the public finances, stabilising the NHS, and pursuing the almost forgotten about levelling up agenda on which the Conservatives swept to a big majority 2 years ago. For investors, the focus will be less on spending plans than on tax-raising measures. The Chancellor is instinctively a fiscal conservative, so he's likely to play hardball with the spending review for the rest of the Parliament, which will accompany the budget. But that will not be enough on its own. Apart from capping spending, the other way to balance the books is, of course, to hike taxes to fill the gap. Areas in focus include the perennial area of concern, pension tax relief, capital gains tax, inheritance tax, and student loans. He has, of course, already squeezed national insurance higher, and the freezing of income tax bans is a hidden tax increase, especially in a more inflationary environment. The triple lock guarantee on state pensions has already been suspended due to the one-off nature of the recent sharp rise in year-on-year earnings. Other measures related to pensions are thought unlikely, but it wouldn't be a budget without some concerns about annual or lifetime allowances. Capital gains tax also looks likely to escape the big concern, an equalisation of the relatively generous rate of CGT with higher income tax rates for higher earners. More likely is a reduction to the annual exemption. It could fall from the current $12,300 to $6,000 or even lower. And finally, watch out for action on student loans. The simplest way to raise more money from graduates is to reduce the income threshold at which former students start to repay their loans. Currently just over £27,000, a cut to maybe £23,000 is rumoured. That would raise £2 billion a year, although young people might quite reasonably ask why once again they are being asked to bail out the government's older, wealthier voter base. Intergenerational fairness is becoming a real political hot potato. The other big event this week is the COP26 Climate Summit in Glasgow, starting on Sunday and running for 2 weeks. This is likely to have less of a short-term impact on markets, but longer-term, it's hard to overstate its importance. There is now general agreement that time is running out if the world is to achieve the targets for limiting global warming set out at the Paris COP event in 2015. That set the bar at a 2-degree rise in average global temperatures above pre-industrial levels by 2050, and preferably no more than 1.5 degrees. It's also widely agreed that the window for putting in place the measures that will enable that is rapidly closing. COP26 is the opportunity for around 200 countries to spell out what they intend to do to help meet that target. The trouble is that some of the world's biggest polluters are lukewarm in their support. It's likely that neither Russia nor China will have head of state representation in Glasgow. And even the US, where Joe Biden has in the past spoken out strongly on environmental matters, is seen as falling behind in its commitments. The risk is that Glasgow is seen as a talking shop that makes real little difference. For investors, the big question is how best to be part of the solution. Al Gore, whose groundbreaking and inconvenient truth brought home to many the importance of tackling climate change back in 2006, has spoken out this week about the need for investors to do more than just talk about engaging with polluting companies and actually start to disinvest from them. It's a contentious issue. Many big investors, Fidelity included, believe that engagement is the most effective way to encourage long-lasting change. Simply walking away from companies will not stop them operating if it simply reduces their market value and makes them more attractive to less scrupulous investors. With all the things going on this week, it would be easy but wrong to forget about the big market driver at the moment, inflation and imminently rising interest rates. With the Fed poised to begin its tapering of monetary stimulus in the weeks ahead, inflation is still front of mind. Inflation expectations stand close to their highest level in the past 10 years or so, and with headline inflation in the US above 5% and heading that way here too, expectations are only likely to rise from here. The concern is that prices are rising in the absence of much economic growth. That sounds like the 1970s problem of stagflation. It's perhaps unsurprising that investors are looking to stock market sectors with a record of performing well in that kind of environment. Energy stocks in particular are back in favour and consumer stocks out. That makes sense and chimes with the pattern in previous inflationary periods. Energy companies have pricing power during inflation because we have no choice about heating our homes or driving our cars. We do have a choice about buying a new car or new clothes or whatever. And finally, Bitcoin is in focus again this week thanks to the launch of new crypto tracking ETFs in the US. These funds have been criticised as an inadequate way of mirroring the underlying price of Bitcoin for various technical reasons around how financial futures work. But for many investors, they'll be viewed as a simple way of gaining access to Bitcoin alongside their other investments. It's no coincidence, therefore, that the price of Bitcoin briefly hit a new all-time high last week, above $66,000.
Please be aware the value of investments and the income from them can go down as well as up, so you may not get back what you invest. This information does not constitute investment advice and should not be used as the basis for any investment decision, nor should it be treated as a recommendation for any investment. Investors should also note that the views expressed may longer be current and may have already been acted upon. Reference to specific securities should not be construed as a recommendation to buy or sell these securities and is included for the purposes of illustration only. Fidelity Personal Investing does not give personal recommendations. If you are unsure about the suitability of an investment, you should speak to an authorised financial advisor. This podcast may not be reproduced or circulated without prior permission. It is meant for UK residents and does not constitute an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction in which it may be unlawful to make such an offer or solicitation. No statements or representations made in this podcast are legally binding on Fidelity or the recipient. Issued by Financial Administration Services Limited, authorised and regulated in the UK by the Financial Conduct Authority. Fidelity, Fidelity International, the Fidelity International logo and F symbol are trademarks of FIL Limited.